Welcome to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm CDJ, joined by Tommy, JB out on assignment. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We're kind of starting to hit the home stretch now, so lots of information hitting here and there.
First off, make sure if you're looking for any news or info, especially when you get to the July 4th weekend, head over to thegamingtailgate.com and click on our EA Sports College Football 25 Information Central. Everything that comes out about the game, screenshot news, features, articles, videos, the known features, blogs, community previews, everything will be in one page. A good way to make that 4th of July weekend go a little faster as everybody is anticipating and waiting for the game to finally come out. Also, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review, subscribe. Everything you do on that front really helps grow the show. And we've had a lot of growth. Let's keep it going. We really appreciate everyone who's been listening and watching. One thing I want to mention real quick. There's some, I believe it's bad info about the game soundtrack. I think I want to mention that first because I keep seeing this. Tommy, you've seen it. I've seen it. There's a screenshot going around that I think people have Photoshopped to make it look like it's on the official blog on the EA Sports College Football website. Pretty sure it's not accurate given the spelling errors in it. And one of the songs listed has been confirmed by some of the media who were at attendance at that event a few weeks ago to not be in the game.
I don't know if it's a way for artists to kind of get their name attached to the game, just to kind of get a little bit of pub or something like that. But yeah, long story short, I can't imagine half of those are in there. EA's kind of suggested that most of the soundtrack is going to be related to bands and things and college bands and things like that. So I can't imagine you're going to have a whole lot of, you know, hip hop and rap and stuff like that. It's going to be related to team entrances and songs you hear during the game and everything.
So we want to put that out there that I think there's somebody who's doing for clout. We don't believe that to be accurate. But the big news over the last few days, and everyone has debated it, but we would be a little bit remiss if we didn't talk about it a little bit as well. The rankings came out for EA Sports College Football 25, offensive and defensive power rankings, as they called it, and also the overall power rankings. They came out earlier today as we record the show. Tommy, what did you think when this first came out? The offense came out early in the morning and then defense came out later in the day. What stood out? I know the community, the big one was Colorado on both.
Yeah, I mean, that one clearly stands out. Okay, if you want to rate them a little bit higher in offense, okay, so be it. Maybe they're a top 25 offense. I don't think they're a top 10. But defense, I don't think they belong anywhere near the top 25 from my perspective. So obviously this comes from the attributes of the players. So sure, you can say they have a lot of great players, and so that gives them the bump. But as a team as a whole, they don't gel enough or anything like that to truly deserve that high of a ranking in either side, from my perspective. That's the easy one that, you know, you could say that shouldn't be there. But then, you know, to me, they highlighted one of the better running backs you're going to see this year in some previous trailers, and then didn't include Oklahoma State in the top 25 offenses at all. So that one, you know, they had a prolific offense last year. I only expect that to continue. I don't know why they're not in the top 25 somewhere. Those to me were the big ones. I could make cases for a lot of other things. Obviously, this is all kind of speculation and guessing. It's something to talk about for now. But to me, give me 3 or 4 years in a dynasty and none of it matters anyways. It's all turnover and everything.
I'd say the national media really picked up on this. And I think that might have been the intent with way how they released this. We had a Crane & Company. We had Barrett Salee talking about it. We had Andy Staples talking about it. Segments every day on their shows or on their podcasts breaking down and a lot of critiquing. Bud Elliott doing so as well. Of course, when it's late June, there's not a lot to talk about in the sports world, especially college football. So I can see where that would really pick up. And we talked about on the previous show about the toughest places to play. I think some of that was picked to generate a little discussion, if not controversy. I think we're getting some of that here. We did have some discussion on the Gaming Tailgate about this. YZ105 weighed in. From his understandings with the old games, only the starters are used to determine the offensive and defensive ratings. So teams with more returning starters will have a boost. He mentioned scheme difference may also make a few points difference when calculating. For example, if somebody doesn't have a fullback or they don't use it, you're going to put in a poor tight end, which also could mess with that. He says many of the team ratings are closer than you think, but the overall team ratings are normalized for play now ratings to make a gap between teams a little larger. His final point, also, I don't envy the people making the rosters for this game. It was hard enough for trying to finalize rosters by the first week of April, back when the players weren't real. I can't imagine the stress of trying to do it now. I think he has a good point about those starters, and I would question or wonder how much, for example, on the offensive side, does offensive line really weigh in? What is the formula to determine overall? Now, if it's only the starters, And let's say, for example, offensive line isn't a huge factor in determining the overall. Basically, this list is just giving you the best skill position starters by team. I mean, for the most part, that's what this is. And I did think it was funny. A lot of people were upset Colorado was eighth. They said, I can't believe they're eighth. Technically, they're not. There's a tie for about five, six schools for fifth. They are fifth and tied for fifth in overall offense. So, I mean, I don't think making it worse would probably make it better here. If what we believe about the overall OVR calculation is correct, could Colorado have a top five, at least talent wise, with what they have at quarterback, running back, and receiver? I know they're very good at those spots. I don't know that I would say they're top five, but it's a little more understandable. I think people need to remember this OVR formula might be a little skewed. And especially in a year where wear and tear, one of the big features they pushed from the get-go, and depth is going to matter, I wonder if depth maybe is not calculated in OVR.
Yeah, I mean that brings up a good point, and you mentioned his name, but for those who are not aware, YZ105, former dev for EA, he worked on the rosters in the past, I believe. So definitely, he has some good insight there. To I didn't realize that it was only based upon starters. So again, that's good to know, kind of some new information there. Obviously, they may do things a little bit different now, but again, they did it before, probably are still doing it now. But yeah, to your point, depth is going to matter a lot more. If this does not calculate anything regarding depth, then they may have, 11 players that are highly rated and then nobody behind them or something like that. You never know. Again, it's conversation fodder. It's something that, a lot of people are upset about and everything like that, and reasonably so. But yeah, long story short, to me, a dynasty guy, it's not going to matter in a few years anyways. I wouldn't probably use any of these teams for the most part anyway for a dynasty or anything, maybe an NC State or something like that. But it's they're you're going to see all of these teams in your play now games, so definitely get used to that. But in dynasty, it's not going to matter.
I do kind of wonder, like the example of Colorado, they must be expecting all of the portal players to hit. I don't know if they're going, and my theory, and I have nothing to base this on besides just we've had several days to sit and think about this. Is it where they are looking at their star rating at one point or another? We know EA has said they want stars to matter. They want you to feel the difference between a five star and a two star. Are they, when they evaluate players and rate players, are they looking at previous star rating, for example, and just assuming, well, this guy was a four star who hit the portal? That's maybe this four star is going to be pretty good, so that's given the kind of around that rating. I assumed it meant for new recruits, but my theory, which I'm not saying I'm subscribed to it yet, I wonder if, and when they looked at the portal guys, they thought, well, Colorado got a couple of four stars coming in. We're just going to rate them as if they are four stars, even if they may have not had a four star career at their previous school.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely that some of that has to be part of it. That, hey, we're getting new players in, and so they're going to be better than last year in all theory. But at the same time, I wouldn't expect Colorado specifically to take a big jump like their EA suggesting here. But yeah, I mean, no, none of the national preview magazines or anything like that have Colorado ranked anywhere near the top 25. I think I saw somebody said they're like in some of them they're around like number 40 or something like that. So to me, that's probably even being generous given their record from last year. Until you can prove it, show me something you've done differently or whatever. So yeah, I mean, I like YZ said, I don't envy anybody who's doing this. Madden themselves, they have a tough time rating professional players, and they have tons of data to go off of. Whereas college football, you don't have near as much data for what, four times as many teams. So yeah, long story short, it's not going to be a great exact science. Produces some conversation, but I guess one thing that's nice to see is that A, Georgia's a 95 overall for their top 10 team power rankings instead of like a 99. In the past, we would have one, two, or three 99 overall teams, Alabama and USC and whoever else. So it's kind of nice to see. And then the 25th team, Iowa, I don't think they belong there, but they're an 87 overall. So, again, there's a little bit of a spread there. And then if you look at the offenses, there's even more of a spread from 94 to 83. Again, yeah, long story short, that to me is a nice kind of notion that the ratings are more spread out. You're going to see more lower rated players in theory. And so the ratings should matter more.
Some members in the community brought this up, and I think it's an excellent point, is they're upset about these ratings because of sim logic. We don't know how the computer is going to handle simming games between teams, and their concern was an example of Colorado, and I hate to pick on Colorado, but that's the one people keep talking about. So I'm just repeating what I hear. For example, they say if Colorado is going to be an 89 overall offensively, and they're going to be a top 25 caliber in the power ranking, they believe that SimLogic is likely going to play that out as well when they believe they shouldn't be anywhere near that. Obviously, we don't know how the SimLogic works. We also don't know how this overall was calculated. So maybe it really doesn't reflect the talent level on the team from top to bottom. But it is a good point for the community and the concern on that to wonder how what goes into that SimLogic. Will it be where these are the programs that at least for the first 2 to 3 years are going to be really good because they started off with pretty solid footing?
Yeah, no, that does make a good point. I mean, obviously, if you are in one of these Power Five conferences and you know Colorado is winning every single game, then yeah, you're going to get frustrated at that because you know until Colorado proves us otherwise, nobody expects that to happen this year. So yeah, definitely, I see the point that they're making there. It's we'll have to kind of see how things start to shake out between the ratings and player ratings that come out. Obviously, you'll see Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter high up in the list whenever those get revealed. But then, who do you see behind them, kind of thing? You know, definitely, we'll be curious how all that comes out, and is it two, three, four, five players that are just really boosting them up when the rest of the team is subpar?
The big news we found out just in the last few hours that Dynasty Mode, the Dynasty Deep Dive video, will go live on Tuesday, July 2nd at 9:55 a.m. Central Time. And we found out through social media that that blog is believed to be twice as long as the gameplay one. And that was about 8,000 words.
Yeah, I mean, in all reality, Dynasty, there's less that you can show on video and show on, you know, screenshots and things like that. You almost have to write all of the details out to really go over a lot of that stuff. Gameplay, sights and sounds, video and pictures that tells the world. But Dynasty, it's a lot more difficult. You have to explain what you're seeing in this picture. So yeah, definitely can understand why. Just even if they had half as much as 14, which I'm expecting to have, you know, as much as 14, but who knows? We maybe not. But anyway, long story short, there's a lot to go over, not only from the standpoint of new features, but things that have changed in the past 11 years, from NIL and players transferring and you know, things like that. It's definitely going to be a lot to go over from their perspective.
We asked the community, what do you want to learn first about Dynasty Mode? And one of the responses from Jeff H. Cross, which I think was an excellent point, is could you guys recap what we know so far? And I think that's actually, we both said that's a really excellent idea. Some of the things we know, and we need to preface how we know this. All this information comes from the college football media and the YouTube creators who went to the event down at EA Orlando, maybe about 4 weeks ago. So we're repeating what they have said, and the way we understand it, did not get to play it. They were given a presentation. So we are going off kind of what they represented and then what they put out there. So it's kind of a game of telephone. So if something's a little off, don't blame us. And I would say even don't blame them. They didn't get to play it, but they're going off what they were told. So hopefully nothing changed or got cut or tweaked enough to make their info bad. But what we do know, some of the big things, you can hire and fire your own coordinators. So there's some aspects that sounds like what 14 had in terms of having coordinators. Well, now you can hire and fire them. One of the big things I've read and heard that can also affect the player. So, for example, if a player is tied to a certain coordinator and you fire him, there's a chance that might push that player to the portal. And it also works the other way that if you hire, say, you fire a coordinator and hire one from another school, there's a chance somebody that a player that's tied to him might have an interest to come to your school through the portal. So it looks like it will cut both ways.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the hiring and firing, if nothing else, that indicates obviously coaching carousel's back. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Is there a new interface there that kind of walks you through it? That to me, that was always a lot of fun, kind of, especially if you're playing with a bunch of other people in online dynasty, who can get the best job next kind of thing. So definitely looking forward to that. But the hiring and firing of coordinators is probably one of the bigger new things that we know about. Again, as I mentioned earlier, all the changes from the past 11 years, those are going to be big and implemented in there. Pointed out earlier today, it's 30 years of dynasty instead of 60 years of dynasty. I was never one that ever reached a 60-year mark. You know, I'd probably play like 10, 12 seasons and be fine with that. So I don't know how many people ever reach the 60-year mark. That to me, that's a lot of work.
I think there were
But at the
quite a
same
few,
time,
but go ahead.
yeah, I
Sorry.
mean, I don't doubt that, especially in the past 11 years, they've had a lot of time to be able to get there.
Right.
So yeah, I don't fault anyone that did that or you know, anything like that.
It's
To me,
impressive.
that Yeah, it's for sure impressive. For me, 30 years is more than enough, but I understand people who want 60 years that it's, kind of a bummer to hear that. But for your average person, I imagine 30 years is enough. I am curious why they cut that down. Maybe, it's not a limitation because once you reach a,
Wouldn't think so.
unless I, actually, now that I think about it, the only reason I can see it as a limitation is if they are keeping a lot of history in the dynasty to where you can go back previous seasons and see all the records and results and things like that. Obviously, if you do that, then every week you're adding more and more data to it. So that's the only reason I could logically see at this point, but we'll have to wait and see.
And that reminds me, one of the things that also keeps track of, if let's say I recruit a player, but he signs with their school, he will remember that I recruited him. So if he hits the portal, there's a chance he may have an interest back in my school. And I believe the way we've heard about coordinators, he may remember me specifically. Maybe if I go to another school and he leaves the portal from where he's at, maybe he wants to still go where I'm at, whether it was the school or me. So it sounds like it must keep track of previous schools who recruited them. We don't know if that's every school that recruited or just top three. That part I don't think we've heard yet. You can also edit your own coach, but you cannot edit other coaches. So that's different than 14, which understandably so with licensing issues. And it sounds like they want to get coaches in the future, so they're not going to rock the boat and have it where you can edit the coaches this year. One of the big things also, you cannot max out your coach skill tree. But what you can do is the skill tree of your coordinators kind of tie in with yours. So you, in the example I have heard, there was a good interview Matt Brown did with Spencer Hall. And we have that linked on our Twitter account if you go back and look for it. While you can't max out your own skill tree, you can, for example, maybe have all of your coaches, yourself, the two coordinators, have
Complimentary.
as far as recruiting as you can,
Yeah,
or all
yeah.
complimentary. So for the
Yeah, yeah.
example he gave, which was kind of humorous, was if you want to be all in on recruiting and no development, you can do that. So maybe you'll get
Yeah.
all the top players, but they're not going to progress or develop very much for you. Or like you said, it sounds like you can also go complimentary, where maybe the head coach is a recruiter or the coordinators fill out their trees. We don't know fully what all the trees are. And also, when you create your coach, I believe there's four different types: motivator, tactician, recruiter. I think there's another one. I'm drawing a blank on it right now. But that's we've heard. There's also the types of coaches that you make.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, it sounds a lot deeper than what we had in the past, as I think the conversation has kind of also suggested, and I always had the complaint in the past is that everybody filled out their coach tree almost the same exact way. Max out recruiting as fast as you can, then start doling out points to game day, kind of stuff. So definitely, hopefully this kind of gives a little bit more variety and allows different people to kind of build a different coach than what I would build,
Some of the other big things, there's a studio updates, which I think we assumed, but we did find that out in the presentation or the Sights and Sounds blog, that on the play call screen, there will be studio updates. And it was mentioned that if your other members in the online dynasty, for example, have finished their game, there's a chance you can get a studio update of their game. So I'm assuming that works kind of like Madden, where the game is hashed out and maybe it hides the result from you until you get in. If it hasn't been played yet, time-wise, in your schedule, you get updates during your game, which I think is a pretty cool feature. The big one, we probably should have led with this one, the transfer portal is in the game. I think we all assume that. The way that I understand it from the media attendees and the YouTube creators who were there is that in the off-season, you shift between either your recruiting window or the portal window, and it's this, you have the same unit. I don't know if it's hours or points
Points or
exactly,
hours or whatever, yeah.
but you can decide where you want to allocate. If you want to go heavy portal, you can. If you just want to recruit high school players, you can. Or if you just want to obviously mix it up, which I think most people will do, you can do that as well. So that's what we know about the portal. Obviously, I think that's going to be a huge thing. We're all waiting for that first portal screenshot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of information that just has to come out on Tuesday kind of thing that I think a lot of people are waiting for their little piece of, how am I going to build out my coach? How am I going to do my recruiting? How am I going to reach year 30 or whatever it is? A lot of people are kind of anxious for, I've always been a dynasty guy. So this is always kind of the big thing that I've always been waiting for. And I think a lot of people are like that. That's what more draws them to the game, I think, in my opinion.
I think everyone listening to us or watching us, that's their mode.
Yeah, definitely, a large percentage of them. Obviously, we got a lot of Road to Glory fans as well, and different people have their different favorite modes, but Dynasty kind of rules the roost, in my opinion.
We also know every bowl game will be in there, which is great, but not every award. The National College Football Awards Association did not opt in. We'll have the Heisman, It will have the Lugrosa. They did break ranks from the association. I don't know if any others did. So we think a lot of the player awards are probably going to be generic unless there's any others that broke rank from the association or weren't in the association. So the award names may be limited, but I'm assuming they will just have generic player awards. We'll have the College Football Playoff. I think that's a big surprise. That will be in the game. Going to be really interesting to see how they present not only the playoffs, because we've never had this format before, but also how are they going to present the weekly updates when they start occurring around, I believe it's week 8. How will the game present that? Is it just a menu you pop in, or is there going to be a little bit of a pomp and circumstance to kind of get you on the edge of your seat to find out who's in the driver's seat? And we do know it was mentioned on those studio updates that it will talk about potential playoff brackets.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a good opportunity. It's during the game, just pop in. Maybe that's where you first start seeing about the upcoming. Obviously, they have weekly shows in real life, but I guess you could do it as a menu. But wouldn't it be nice if it just shows up during the game? The other thing, of course, is return of custom conferences. We do know a little bit more there that you cannot get rid of any conferences. Well, I think the maximum was 20 schools per conference.
That's what I remember hearing as well.
We can return college football to some of its glory and put the Pac-12 where it belongs, and any other moves that you want to make like that. So again, there's a lot more information to still hear about, and we've just kind of gotten a little taste at this point. So definitely ready for Tuesday.
We asked the community when we found out about the Dynasty news coming finally on July 2nd, what do you want to learn first about Dynasty mode? Let's go through that. Some a lot of great ideas here and great questions that I've seen out there. Immaculate says metro market recruiting areas and how that works. We do know also that there are, as Ari Wasserman called it last year when he kind of let us slip, he had given some feedback to EA about territories. I believe we have found out that some major cities are their own essentially pipeline. So it'll be interesting to see how they divided up the country and how they divided up certain states to these different recruiting regions.
Yeah, the examples that I've heard is kind of Florida is a perfect example. Just because you can recruit Miami doesn't mean you should be able to recruit, northern, Tallahassee or northern Florida or anything like that. So definitely, the regions makes a little bit more sense. And I'll be curious again how that actually works out in terms of how do you actually build in your pipeline to those recruiting areas.
Derek Cornelius and QT both have basically the same question. Presence of coach mode is in or out. Derek says, can I just call the plays and watch it be executed when I'm an OCDC like in 14? That is probably the biggest questions from the more passionate hardcore community. Can I play coach mode?
There's a lot of kind of fans of coach mode over the years that they either don't enjoy the joystick aspect of the game or just simply want to kind of have a more casual version of the game or something like that. So yeah, definitely there's a lot of people that are hoping for coach mode.
Man Cave Hawkeye says, why did they cut it from 60 years down to 30? I think, Tommy, that's a good guess you have, but it will be interesting if we can find that out. Jeff asked, custom conferences. We know a little bit. We did mention that you can get to 20 teams. The example I remember reading was you can restore the Pac-12. I believe it sounds like 14, where you can kind of create divisions if you want to. I don't know if you can create pods, though. I've not heard that mentioned. And Cedric, the last one here, he wants to know everything. Join the club. We all
Yeah.
do. Over on Spotify. And did you even know we get comments on Spotify? Jonathan
Of
says,
course we do.
can recruits decommit? Can you still recruit recruits that have committed but not signed? That is a great question. And that would be a phenomenal feature. That way you have to keep spending those points. So I know for years since we've been brought the show back, we wondered with the portal, what's going to stop people from just getting the top players all the time? Well, if you have to constantly keep your top recruits by spending points or hours, however, whatever unit they use, that would be a great way to make sure you can't just load up on players.
Yeah, I'll be curious what they do with that. I think in the past they kind of said that they didn't have it because it was more of a game mechanic that would kind of ruin, the fun of it. If you constantly had to recruit players over and over and over. The thing is, if they do it right and you can actually recruit your entire list of 25 targets or however many it is, then yeah, I mean, I can see that decommit factoring in. You give love to one player this week, but then you can't give love to him every week. Otherwise, you're gonna lose out on others or something. So,
Or maybe just when you find out they're wavering, like maybe it pops up like, oh, this guy's reopened his commit, reopened his recruiting.
or he's going to go visit your rival or somebody else. He's going to visit their campus for this week, and you know that they have a chance of signing him or something like that. So yeah, I'd definitely be curious if that's in there, how that's going to work. And then as well, something we always saw in 14 were at the end of the year, there were players that didn't sign with anyone. So did those somehow go to FCS and, can come back into the portal next year or something like that? Be interesting to see how they kind of do something like that.
And speaking of visits, we do know that competitive and complimentary visits will be in the game. That's something we had in 14, and I've heard people mention that it's here again in College World 25. Not a surprise, but still great to see the stuff come back that we liked from the past.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I think most people are expecting a baseline of the features from 14. Obviously they're wanting to see them expanded and improved and add in the new stuff. Obviously you can't have every single thing that's on our wish list, but at the same time, I think 14 kind of sets the bar, and then how can they raise it?
So again, Dynasty News coming on Tuesday, July 2nd, 9:55 a.m. That video will hit. Internet sleuths have figured out that it's over a 6 minute long video. So goodness gracious, there must be a lot of details in there. We know the blog is going to be lengthy. They've already come out and said that as well. We do want to mention one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about last show. We know there's some Ultimate Team fans out there. We might have gotten our first look at some of the Ultimate Team cards. Now, as you read this on the screen, the deadline has passed. If you pre-order the deluxe edition by the 27th, you would receive the Heisman Hopeful Pack, which included one of these five players. And so when the official Twitter account for EA Sports College Football Ultimate Team, EA Sports underscore cut, I don't like that, but I don't know what else they would have gone with.
Yeah, as I say, you the only other option would kind of, yeah, ruin the internet.
Yeah. So maybe is a look at what the cards might look like. It's interesting to have real players. I don't know that that's what Carson Beck looks like exactly, but it's way closer than anything we ever had in the past when people try to replicate players. So maybe I don't want to criticize it too much. I know it's a challenge, but those are what the cards look like. Pretty basic, but at the same time, hey, we got real players. It does mention about chemistries and abilities. I don't know exactly what that would entail, if it's similar to what Madden has in Ultimate Team. I have a feeling it probably is, but again, we don't know. And we don't know when the Ultimate Team blog will come out. I do have to think that will probably be, I think EA typically in their titles, that's usually about the week or two before releases when they do their big Ultimate Team stuff, which would put it not this upcoming week, but the week after 4th of July, the week before the game comes out.
The chemistries to me kind of indicates that they have the kind of the scheme fits just like Madden does, to where players are more tuned to fitting in a scheme. Obviously this is talking about Ultimate Team, but I would assume that that also translates to Dynasty as well. So definitely curious to see how that goes. I will say that we're seeing the ratings kind of go across the screen. They did say that these are not the ratings that you'll see in Dynasty. These are not the roster ratings. These are just for Ultimate Team themselves, which, as you if for those that don't know, Ultimate Team, the ratings are not directly tied to the real player, so to speak. I think one year there was a 99 quarterback refrigerator parry or
Yeah,
something
I'm just
like
going to say
that.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, they get a little creative and a little over the top there with some of those, but obviously these are probably these are entry cards, I imagine. So you're not seeing any speedsters here. I don't know if you're going to see a lot of speed in the real rosters, but definitely be curious to see. I would expect, your quarterbacks and safeties and things that would have more speed than what we're seeing here.
And it seems like the pre-order cards are usually good to give you a kind of a boost or leg up for the first few weeks. But then after that, usually in Ultimate Team or any kind of card collecting mode, usually after that, it doesn't, they're not that great for you. You need to get the next promo work, but they give you a nice leg up. And Ultimate Team, we do know that there's several different modes for that. There's solo challenges, head-to-head seasons, college football, Ultimate Team champs, and champs gauntlet. So that's why I'm pretty confident we will be getting at least a blog, if not a live stream, or maybe a deep dive video about it at some point.
One other thing to kind of note here for anybody who has not played Madden, especially in the past 5 years, I want to say, you may be seeing them on here, especially for Carson Beck. They have new ratings that were never in NCAA 14. Particularly for quarterbacks, you have short accuracy, medium accuracy, deep accuracy, throw under pressure, throw on the run, play action run. Obviously, you have your throw power there, but yeah, long story short, those are ratings that we did not have before. So, I mean, obviously, if you played Madden, you probably expected them to be in college football, but this, is more just confirmation of that they are going to be there.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. We will be back after the Dynasty deep dive, one we're looking forward to. Probably a long show, which I'm looking forward to. So for Tommy and JB, who's out on assignment, I am CDJ. Everyone, thank you for listening and watching to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.